Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
Action stations.
Aye, aye, sir. Sound the general alarm.
The Chinese pilot insists we're inside their territorial waters and he will fire.
An act of violence.
Torpedo, torpedo, torpedo.
It was an unprovoked attack on a ship in international waters.
The promise of war.
And instead of decisive action, all you want to do is investigate.
My goal is to prevent World War III, Admiral.
Now, the world has only one chance for peace.
When will our ships be in position?
48 hours.
And just one man for the job.
Bond. James Bond.
How much do you know about Elliot Carver, 007?
Worldwide media ban. Most newspapers, radio, satellite TV.
There's no news.
Black, bad news.
I understand you once had a relationship with Carver's wife.
Was it something I said?
How about the words, I'll be right back?
I'm from the New China News Agency.
Looking for a news story?
I could have taken care of him.
Let the mayhem begin.
Your new BMW.
Do you need collision coverage?
Yes.
Property destruction?
Definitely.
Personal injury?
Accidents do happen.
Grow up, 007.
You seem to have developed a certain attachment.
I get to work with a decadent agent of a corrupt Western power.
I think you found the right decadent, corrupt Western agent as a partner.
Phase two is underway.
This holiday season.
What the hell is he doing?
His job. The world belongs to Bond.
When you remove Mr. Bond's heart, there should just be enough time for him to watch it stop beating.
I would have thought watching your TV shows was torture enough.
Well, where do we start? Is it prescient storytelling? Is it a case of long before the notion of fake news, we had Elliot Carver working through his process? Is it his quote, "The distance between insanity and genius is measured only by success"? This, of course, the second Pierce Brosnan James Bond film, which is going to be considered now by the Residence Rewind team, comprising, of course, Anna Coscanell, Jared Palmer and Chloe Rose, who joins us to step into the breach that Graham Harper left after he departed to head off to do a few other bits and pieces last time. Chloe, let's come to you first. You're a keen Bond fan. A keen aficionado of all things 007. What were your thoughts about Tomorrow Never Dies?
I really like this one, but I feel like I can't help but say it. I don't know if it's just because they're new, but I just prefer the Daniel Craig ones. I could just watch them over and over again. However, I did like this one, and I like the idea, you know, that he was trying to stop the media doing this big coverage to sort of create a war between China and the UK and things like that. But I don't know. I still thought it was really good, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's fine. And that works perfectly well. Let's
turn
really to
Anna. You're really upbeat about it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I think that this actually gets better with repeated viewing. Let's turn to Anna. Your thoughts on Tomorrow Never Dies, please.
Well, I really enjoyed the movie. It's a very good one. As Chloe said, I think it's the fact that we're more used to Daniel Craig rather than Pierce, but he's a great actor and he really is a great James Bond, and he has that black hair and, you know, the face of a secret agent. So I think it's really good.
Okay, which leaves us for initial thoughts, at least, with Jared. Jared, your thoughts on this particular second epic of Pierce Brosnan's reign as 007?
I really did enjoy this one. I think I did prefer GoldenEye slightly, but only slightly. I did think the plot was well established. I was a bit worried when watching the opening scene that this would be another Russian base, but it wasn't. So they did improve upon that. And I did like how the fact that in the beginning it isn't Bond that messes up, it's his agency that messes up and nearly jeopardizes the whole mission. So I thought that was an interesting twist on that. I did also love the sort of like the villain. I thought Carver was an amazing sort of like villain that he didn't use your standard sort of methods. He was a bit unorthodox in it, and I really enjoyed that. And I also enjoyed Weyland's sort of dynamic with Bond. And I liked especially how they introduced her and set her up as for the main part of the film. And I think for me, I do think that there were bits of over-comedic parts, especially with the car, but I think I enjoyed that part, especially because I love the bit where he's driving along and then they shoot the missile and it goes through the car. Because I was thinking every time in the film when cars get shot off, why they don't put bulletproof windows, and that is the reason why now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the car was very substantial in terms of its defence, and we did have the classic interrogation scene with, of course, Dr. Kaufman engaging in the whole process of how to interrogate and deal with a whole variety of other elements. What about favourite moments, though? I mean, Anna, was this the first time you'd seen Tomorrow Never Dies, or were you familiar with this before?
No, I knew it before, but I did rewatch it on my way to Lincoln just to, be...
Being professional ahead of Residence Rewind, you obviously wanted to actually ensure that you'd actually follow the whole thing through, which is good. So again, how what moments sort of stuck out for your good self in terms of, that's a positive one?
I think a positive one, I think the scene underwater where he saves her, but my favorite part of the whole movie was when they jumped out the window and they through the building and they went down taking his face off the poster. That I thought that was like really fun and, you know, a good part of the movie. You know, we're taking him down, so we're taking his face piece by piece. Yeah, I thought that was quite clever and funny.
I mean, we see here obviously something which a lot of people criticize Bond movies for, and I think this was a classic case of where actually things have changed in terms of the role of women in movies. Because although Paris Carver comes to an unfortunate end, and you could argue that the Danish teacher of Bond in Oxford clearly is there for a certain form of window dressing, we have in Wei Lin, played by, of course, established and now Academy Award-winning actress Michelle Yeoh, somebody who is very much Bond's equal in the Chinese service. And unlike GoldenEye, of course, this is one which plays around not so much with the aftermath of the Soviet Union in Russia, but very much the communist regime in China and the way in which, obviously, manipulation actually occurs. I mean, from your own perspective, Jared, did you feel that that kind of was well handled, or is it a case of, no, these days, fake news, social media, a equivalent to Elliot Carver, would be much easier to actually deliver and develop his Machiavellian schemes for ensuring that he got at least 100 years of exclusive rights to broadcasting in China?
I think personally they handled it really well. And I think Wei Ling is definitely one of my top Bond girls. I do think I do need to do a refresh on the whole series for again. But I think for me, I think a lot of people looking back on the Bond films do sort of see that slow progressive, because in the previous couple ones, we had The Spy Who Loved Me and For Your Eyes Only. Of course, we also see the strong female type in Anya, who's also the Soviet KGB agent. And we also see in For Your Eyes Only that Melina sort of like takes on like the agency on her own even before Bond even starts the mission. So I think for this, is seeing that sort of continue. And I did like the dynamic that they had, and especially the bit where Bond is being sassy, especially during just before they jump out the window with the torture. And I just loved how like she's just letting him play along until the bit where they get the upper hand and escape through that window. And I think going forward, I think it was definitely, for me, looking back on it, it's definitely one of the highlights of the movie, especially the fact that they established her character very well. And then in the end, we see them sort of like, not just as equals, but we just see the other side of what agency is in Britain. And of course, social media now is very impactful. So I think for me, this was definitely a big moving forward with the Bond films.
Lots of references, of course, to Vietnam as well. In fact, Vietnam was supposed to be one of the locations for the movie until they effectively withdrew and they had to actually go to Thailand instead. Lots of other challenges with respect to that. And of course, a reference to the real life newspaper magnate, of course, the owner of the Daily Mirror, many other scenarios, who was clearly being referenced when M effectively gives the reason for Jonathan Carver's demise and a suspected suicide. It was actually there again, a nod in the direction of obviously the former Daily Mirror owner. Chloe, from your own perspective, you are an excellent musician, an extraordinary musician. You always have a love for the Bond themes. This is a movie which unusually actually has in many ways two themes, or arguably three, because not only have we got David Arnold writing the Bond movie and working on that whole system, we've got the original opening song by Sheryl Crow, Tomorrow Never Dies. And then, of course, we have the closing song, Surrender, which also features the lyric Tomorrow Never Dies, from the point of view of K.D. Lang. Any thoughts?
Oh, obviously, my favourite part of James Bond, obviously, is James Bond, but also the theme song. And I liked all of them, but I just love Tomorrow Never Dies. I think it's incredible. And the way Sheryl Crow sings it. She's got, yeah, that's it, crikey. I best get it right. She's got such a, I can't even explain it, like a seductive tone to her voice. And she's very smooth and silky and honeyfied with the song. And I think that's kind of what it is. It's kind of a little bit classy, sassy. And the way she sings it is amazing. And obviously what I really love about Bond songs is it's so apparent when something is a Bond song, because you can hear like the guitar's got a certain sound to it. It just gets me sort of ready for the action, you know, to watch it. But yeah, if I was to pick from the three, I just personally just loved the opening. I think the opening was great with that song, obviously, Tomorrow Never Dies. So. Cheryl Crow. I keep saying Cole. I don't know why I keep saying this.
It's okay. We've just heard, of course, it was Robert Maxwell, who was the newspaper magnate who, again, apparently fell off his yacht, obviously, before the whole shenanigans with respect to, obviously, the pension scandals and other areas. What about your favourite moments, Chloe, from the movie itself? I mean, we start off very much with what's become almost a staple, that White Knight returns and of course, the weapons bazaar that we actually have and Bond rescuing the day by basically managing to actually take out the nuclear missile before the British missiles effectively set up a nuclear explosion. Any sort of moments that for you stood out as being particularly positive and memorable from this one?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think of a specific moment. I mean, I like sort of the love scenes really, and probably when he like rescues her, I'd say that's probably my favourite bit. But so I always like things like that.
And clearly in this particular case, he is just about in time because, of course, there is that slight moment of jeopardy where we think that Wei Lin is effectively going to drown in the South China Seas. Clearly, Bond was too late to rescue Terry Hatcher's character of Paris Carver. And that, of course, led on to what I think, again, echoing Jared's theme, was probably one of the more ironically amusing sort of aspects that we got there with, of course, a fairly well-known character actor who, of course, has portrayed a whole range of experiences in his past, Vincent Schiavelli as Dr. Kaufman, with, of course, the classic line, "Mr. Bond, I could shoot you from Stuttgart and make it look like a suicide." And, of course, the reference to Hirsch Stamper, Henry Gupta. I mean, we looked last week at the kind of trio of villainy that we had in GoldenEye. Here we probably have possibly four major villains. We have obviously Elliot Carver, but then of course we have Guts Otto as Herr Stamper, and of course his mentor and tutor, Dr. Kaufman, Vincent Schiavelli, as we mentioned, with of course Henry Gupta, played by Ricky Jay, who was the person who basically manipulated all of the villainy in terms of the computer side of things as well. What about your own favourite moments, Jared?
I would say for me, I think three stood out for me. The car scene was one of them. The second one was the bit where Q just creeps up on 007 and just presents him with the car, which I thought was a bit funny, despite the fact the numerous times of Bond sneaking around, Q manages to do it better than him on that occasion. And then I think for me, it was the bit where he does come and unfortunately Paris has been murdered. And I think for that just goes back to, of course, Her Majesty's Secret Services, when, of course, Tracy is fatally killed on their wedding day, just as they got married. And I think even though they don't directly reference it in Pierce's series, they have referenced it before in the previous Bond films, from Dalton to Moore, which I always assume that Pierce is still continuing on that, because of course they bring up sort of the references. So it was a little bit of a nod there, but at the same time, I did feel as Bond, he was affected by it, but he wasn't as affected as much, because I could see that, of course, they hadn't seen each other in a while. But I would say for me, it was kind of reminiscing to show that the life of a spy is dangerous, and unfortunately, this is what's going to happen. So I would say that was my third favourite moment in that film as well.
This movie, of course, was the first one to be produced solely by Michael Wilson, and Barbara Broccoli, because Cubby Broccoli, of course, one of the original producers of the Bond series, had passed. Indeed, of course, had Harold Saltzman, of course, Saltzman having left the series after Man with the Golden Gun. Anna, in Romania, was this a movie that effectively, as the Bond series, it kind of goes down well? Because last week, I know when we were talking about GoldenEye, you were saying how Bond is very much a global phenomenon. There is obviously a lot of discussion about the icon of that is Bond, how maybe, we've just heard recently, of course, the VFI have actually started including trigger warnings to actually point out that in the early Bond series, people may be upset by misogynistic tendencies, other areas with respect to that. Or is that a case of get real, people? It's an entertaining spy thriller. What would you say, Anna?
I think people need to touch some grass and stop getting offended by everything. Because they're just movies. I mean, if we could all go back to the 70s, you know, and just watch the movies without having to hear people get upset because they're not seeing I don't know what type of couples or getting offended because they don't like the jokes or everything, that would be such a good place. So you do have my opinion on that. I think people are just being ridiculous at this point with everything and with the trigger warnings and just everything.
Okay, interesting views there, and possibly words which will continue to develop in the ongoing culture wars. Interesting to see how Bond actually copes with respect to that, or not, as the case may be. But again, any other sort of favourite moments, Anna, that you felt stood out from this particular one? I mean, I did feel that Elliot Carver's particular notion of when he's having the discussion with his wife, Paris, and she says, these things happen. Not to me, he says, not to me. And that really kind of really shows his particular both strength and arguably weakness.
I think what I liked most about this one is that the antagonist's wife, basically Elliot's wife, was, if I'm not wrong, and if I'm not, was Bond's ex-girlfriend. So I think that's such it's such an interesting perspective to put it, because she's basically married to the bad guy, but she's good. So I really like this particular representation of them. And you said that we have four villains, and I was just thinking that I don't know if we should consider her bad or not, and this should be up for debating, because she does some things, but in the end she's good. So I don't know, I think this is interesting as well compared to other movies in the Bond series. And as scenes, I know I mentioned the one where they jump off the out the building, but I think it was pretty romantic scene where Bond kisses his ally. He kisses Wei Lin. But yeah, but I don't know. I can 100% say that there are people out there that they're saying that it's not fair that she was almost drowning and she's a woman and he's a man and he had to save her. I can attest for that. That there are people out there saying that, which I don't think it's nice, because it's a movie. And at the end of the day, sometimes you want to see, you know, that you're getting saved by someone and the girl being saved by the man, you know, like in the old time stories. I don't see the bad thing about that. I think it's pretty romantic and nice. And he's a really good looking man and she's really beautiful. So this is like the bonus.
Interesting. Chloe, I mean, clearly, we don't want to go down the culture wars rabbit hole, because we're both in education. We know that challenges can occur with respect to that. But, well, four of us obviously have educational connections. But any thoughts on what's been discussed? I mean, I do know that there is this notion that having a white heterosexual lead as Bond is simply promoting white privilege, and therefore the whole series should be cancelled.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really difficult, isn't it? Because I find, even in when I'm teaching my lessons and things, I'm always worried about, oh gosh, I don't want to offend anybody. And you've got to
pronouns.
Be so careful.
Watch the pronouns.
Absolutely. You have, you know, you've got to be so careful. And I understand that everybody's got a different opinion and we need to be accepting of everybody, whatever background, whatever ethnicity and stuff like that. But I mean, thinking, touching back to sort of what Anna was saying, I know what she means, that sometimes some of the way James Bond was portrayed in the past, it might have, it's sort of slightly changed, but it's still similar. You know, he's seen as more this, you know, a bit flirty, you know, and things like that with the women. But I think that was kind of part of his character, part of the character. If you completely change that, it would ruin the whole, I don't know, idea of who James Bond was in the first place. But then James Bond can be played totally different on each film. But I know what Anna's saying, it's difficult, isn't it? It's, at the end of the day, it's a movie, so if we remember that, it's not real life, you know. So it's always good to do all sorts of things. I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say, Alex? It's difficult, isn't it? I agree with what Anna's saying. I know what she's meaning.
Okay, I mean, no. Well, actually, before we talk favourite characters, Jared, anything you'd like to add to this one? Or is it just a case of, well, until they actually offer me the role of James Bond, frankly, I'm just going to keep very quiet?
Well, I wish, but... I would say, for me, my favourite character was Wei Ling for this. I think I really enjoyed her character, and I really like the dynamic she had with Bond and the sort of the duality of them. And I think also going forward, this was what got me into Michelle as an actress as well. So I think for me, this was definitely my favourite character for this film.
And Michelle Yeoh, who obviously had an impressive resume before she was signed up for Tomorrow Never Dies, had starred in various Chinese-based Academy Award-winning movies, etc. Before, of course, she picked up her award for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and indeed is now very much part of the Star Trek Discovery universe from that point of view. Favourite characters from yourself, Anna?
This time, actually, it's going to be Elliot Carver because he's such a great actor. And I've watched actually a lot of many of the movies he was in. And I really enjoy watching him. He's really good. And even if he's the villain, he somehow makes you like him.
Yes, I think that's quite an interesting line that you've taken on Jonathan Pryce's interpretation of the role here, because it was very much in the mode of a classic Bond villain, but at the same time, it wasn't perhaps necessarily the maniacal quality. I mean, the maniacal quality was doubtlessly there, but there were areas where, in essence, he didn't necessarily sort of connect from that. And obviously, his views on being a newsreader, a news broadcaster, and indeed a media magnate was very much there. I mean, it's interesting that, again, in terms of the whole side of things there, he clearly wasn't averse to using blackmail. I mean, his communications with his team, where basically, Mr. Wallace, call the president, tell him if he doesn't sign the bill lowering the cable rates, we will release the video of him with the cheerleader in the Chicago motel room. Inspired, sir's response. And after he signs the bill, says Carver, release the tape anywhere. Consider him slimed. And that notion of how images are being wrecked and the control that the media actually has and had back in the day, and arguably still does, was again very much brought to the fore here. Chloe, what about your characters and favourites from this particular aspect? Are you going to go for Samantha Bond as Miss Moneypenny? Or is it going to be a case of, no, you're going to go for Joe Wade, played by Joe Don Baker? Or is it a villain? Is it her Stamper? Or indeed Dr. Kaufman?
I would say Elliot Carver, just because, I mean, I just love a good villain, to be honest with you. And obviously Pierce Brosnan is James Bond, just because, that's why I'd watch it in the first place, because he's James Bond. But yeah, I always love a good villain. And there's been some amazing villains over the last, you know, decades or whatever in James Bond. So that's who I'd say. I'd say those two. And actually, I'm going on again. But I would say the Bond girl, just because I would have loved to in the past. I'm getting old now, but I would have loved to have been a Bond girl. So, yes, there you go.
Or indeed Bond woman, as we mentioned. I think it's interesting.
Yes, Bond woman.
The elements were put into that. Jared, are you sticking with Michelle Yeoh as Wei Lin as your favourite character for this one, though?
I am, yeah.
Okay, let's begin to sum up some of the thoughts that we've actually had so far. Of course, the movie itself, Tomorrow Never Dies, also loosely the title itself emerges from the Beatles, of course, and their classic number from the Revolver album, Tomorrow Never Knows. So as opposed to Tomorrow Never Knows, we have Tomorrow Never Dies. Clearly showing the filmic series roots in the 1960s. Chloe, what is your score going to be overall for this particular Roger Spottiswood directed Tomorrow Never Dies?
Oh, well, I don't want to go super high, but super low. Probably, oh heck, 7.9. 7.9 out of 10. That was very specific.
It is indeed. It's the sort of precision that you get in a BMW remote control mechanism from that point of view. Written, of course, by Bruce Feierstein, although I gather that there are a team of writers who are also working on how to actually develop this particular thing, because, as we said, certainly the original Ian Fleming novels had been long since exhausted by this, although you could argue that Daniel Craig repackaged Casino Royale very much in the nod to the very first James Bond novel by Ian Fleming. And directed, of course, as we said, by Roger Spottiswood, who, I mean, last week we obviously focused very much on Martin Campbell's work with respect to that. Roger Spottiswoode, of course, who actually shares his birthday literally just 2 days after mine. So happy birthday, Roger. He was also responsible for 48 Hours for the sixth day. And I think a good jobbing director, but somebody who certainly had his hands full, I think, with respect to the action sequences. It was good to see Vic Armstrong very much at the fore there. The motorcycle chase sequence where Bond is strapped or handcuffed to Wei Lin, I think, is a phenomenal tour de force of experience shortly after, of course, one of Anna's favourite moments, just after they've leapt out of the building and taken the leap of faith by actually basically carrying down the or scraping down the side of Elliot Carver's physiognomy in Vietnam and so on. Jared, what's your score going to be?
I would say for this one, I'll give it a 7.2. I think it was a solid story. It had a very solid beginning. I would say for me, just only because of GoldenEye, I think for me personally, it doesn't surpass it, but it is still a solid Bond film on its own. And I think it's definitely one of the best sort of like gadgetry films that I've watched, especially with the remote control car, because I want that car.
Well, I suppose with driverless cars, you could say we're approaching the time where they will become part and parcel of the whole sequence. And maybe there was a kind of predictive nature to the Bond notions here in terms of how media empires can build up. Is it too much of a leap of faith to actually see, instead of Elliot Carver, we possibly have Elon Musk or maybe even Mark Zuckerberg as the sort of the evil coordinators of the world, who basically need a British Secret Service agents to coordinate them. I might mention Jeff Bezos as well, especially now Amazon effectively have bought out the MGM companies. And of course, it's all part and parcel of the Amazon system as well. Anna, well, so far we've had a 7.9. We've had a 7.2, was it, Jared, or 7.1?
I think it was 7.2.
7.2.
Just 7.2 and rounding it down.
Yeah, I might, because, as I say, initially when I saw it, I would probably have agreed, certainly with Chloe and Jared, it was around about a 7, because I did feel as though some of the action sequences went on too long, especially the drill sequence through the submarine and areas with respect to that, or the British warship. I'm now kind of thinking it's more in a 9, but Anna, what are you going to go for in terms of numbers?
I actually thought it was pretty good, and I was thinking somewhere between 8.5 and 9, but then I heard you guys saying 7.2 and 7.9, and except my confusion, because, I mean, it's obvious that you can give 7 point anything or anything point anything, but I just did not think of it up until now. I'll give it an 8, because I really liked it, and I really liked the plot, and especially I liked the thing that she is from the Chinese intelligence, and they did not put her in the UK intelligence or anything. They just included two countries for the plot. So I think that was a pretty smart move. So I'll give it an 8, but I really think it's a very good movie, and even though some scenes went on for too long, which may be true, but I did not get bored at all watching it. So for me, that's a lot. So I really enjoyed it.
And if it helps you pass the time as you're traveling from Coventry to Lincoln, that can only be a good thing, surely.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating to see how some of our other Resonance Rewinders made of Bond, or what they made of Bond, especially we've still to actually find Pamela Suman to find anything good to say about James Bond. She's very much an anti-JB person, but there we are. That's Pamela for you. I'm not sure whether Phil Lynas is also in that camp as well, but we just have to wait and see, possibly for another time. For now, though, as we conclude our look at a brace of Bonds from Pierce Brosnan, we prepare ourselves for a bit of calmness. We actually are heading off to the Eye of Orion for at least a short while to actually engage in some nice, calm positivity before, of course, yes, as Jared's rightly sort of raising the whole notion of the Five Doctors emerges, the 20th anniversary edition, of course, of the television series Doctor Who, produced by John Nathan Turner back in the day, featuring Peter Davison, featuring Patrick Troughton, featuring John Pertwee, featuring William Herndahl, playing, of course, the First Doctor, as clearly getting William Hartnell back for the role wasn't necessarily on the agenda, and likewise Tom Baker, who gets stuck in time. So that's to come on the next edition of Resonance Rewind. Chloe, will you be joining us for the Five Doctors?
Oh, yes, definitely. When will this be? Would this be the same time?
It will. It would indeed be the same time.
That's so brilliant. Yes,
we can coordinate on that side of things there.
Yes.
And certainly, given that the Doctor has had a lot of sort of tie-ins with Bond in the past, and arguably we've also got the whole issue of the changes that have recently been taking part with respect to the character of the Doctor, now portrayed by Chuti Gatwa, and certainly the flak that's actually emerged. We'll just have to wait and see what things actually will take place from this particular adventure, which again will be looked at in Resonance Rewind. From now, though, to Anna Coscanell, to Jared Palmer, and to Chloe Rose, huge thanks. Chloe, when's your next single due out, by the way?
Oh, it is possibly February, halfway, mid-Feb. So I will let you all know. And just it was so lovely to see you all, by the way, in Lincoln. I loved that.
Well, there we are, just in time for Valentine's Day. And a little heads up, Victoria Simmons' latest single is due out, I think, about 6 days or so from now, where that's also sort of emerging. So it's a good stuff as far as that's concerned. And that's all we have to say at this particular stage, apart from those immortal three words, before we head into some more music from David Arnold and indeed Sheryl Crow. Not Fenn, not indeed any other sort of Sheryl, but Sheryl Crow. Of course, the three classic words, keep on resonating.
I was thinking you were going to say keep on keeping on.
It's the uncertainty that keeps life good. Interesting, Chloe. We'll keep on resonating for this one.
Absolutely. No, I like that.
Your life is a story I've already written. The news is that I am in control. And I have the power. Not only your body, but your soul.
you tease, how you leave me to burn. It's so deadly, my dear, the power of having you near until I die, until the world falls away, until you say I've been over goodbyes. I see it in your eyes, tomorrow never genie.